Men, all the willpower in the world can't save us from impurity, but God's grace is sufficient. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle tough issues men might think about but don't talk about very much. As we continue our series on the godly man, being pure is our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. As we kick off, the godly man is pure. Here's our Crossing the Goal team, the Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. The President and Founder of Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin. And our coach, former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. Gentlemen, this is really a big issue for men, purity. Where do we start with purity, Peter?
The Scripture says, the pure in heart will see God. Jesus told us that. It's so important because we're made to see God, the way the Scripture talks about, to know God. In order to see God and know God, we have to have a pure heart. The heart is the seat of decision for us. We're going to talk today about what that means.
Is our purity based on worldly principles or on Christian values? We need to determine that. Plus, where's our thoughts? What's influencing our thoughts? Because that starts the whole ball rolling. What are we doing on a computer? What are we watching on TV? What's happening in our life in that manner? What are we doing with porn and stuff in our life? See, the impurity will eke in there if we don't watch out. We've got to watch our thoughts and what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. At the beginning of each show, we do this kickoff, and part of what we really try to accomplish is to say, why are we even discussing this, and lay out the issue? And I don't know that there's an issue that's more significant to us than this one, because our culture has been dominated by the sexual revolution, and we need to recognize that there's a direct frontal assault on purity, which keeps us from being able to engage and actually see God. And so we really need to go after this in a powerful way.
Yeah, more than in any other area of our lives, we need a game plan for purity. We happen to have one for you here on Crossing the Goal. Peter and Curtis will give us that game plan next on Crossing the Goal right after this quick timeout.
The godly man is pure. And as we reach the game plan, it's now time to take a look at what we're talking about and break it down so that we can begin to see how we as men can pursue God's will for us in our lives. We're pursuing purity. What exactly are we talking about, Peter?
I started by saying that Jesus said, you know, the pure in heart will see God. Heart is the heart is the seat of our decision, the center of our being, of our life, of our spirit. He said to be pure in heart is to will one thing. From our core, from the seat of our decision, what I most desire, what I most will, is God. Remember, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom, and everything else will be added unto you. So you start with first things first, and when we do that, we're able to apprehend and see God. This is interesting. St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, he had this earnest prayer. I love this passage. First, chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 18, 17 and 18, he says, he prays that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of all glory would give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you were called, what are the riches and the glorious inheritance of the saints. And so Paul's got this interesting phrase, the eyes of your heart enlightened. This is the point Jesus is after. If you seek first the kingdom, Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst for holiness, that is union with God, intimacy with God, a capacity to touch and to see God, you're going to get it. The hungry will have it. So Jesus said, seek it first and you'll be able to have it. And you'll be able to see who you are and what you're destined for.
And you can hear in St. Paul's voice and in Jesus' voice, this almost this sense of don't get stuck with the trinkets. Yeah. The world is filled with all kinds of shiny things, and they're attractive, but God, He wants our hearts to be open, the eyes of our hearts to be open, so we can see what it is He wants to give us, which will make everything else we're pursuing seem like dust.
Yeah.
And so we want to really have that sense. And talk about single-mindedness. This is not new teaching with Jesus and Paul. If you go back into Israel, Moses is telling the people, he gives them the great Shema, the command that the Israelites were learning and drilling into their children, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And to be able to sense this single-mindedness that God longs for from us.
Yeah, and that's the man with a pure heart, and that's where it begins. St. Paul said, we make it our aim to please the Lord. So then that fundamental desire touches every other desire of our life. And oftentimes we talk about purity, it's related to sexual purity. It's broader than that, but right now I'd like to, let's talk about it a little bit, because that's the biggest issue, I think, facing a lot of men. And we're talking about our desires are not at the service of that one fundamental goal in our life, which is to please the Lord. And our desires get disordered, and our whole sexual life is no longer ordered to God's purpose for us.
You know, Cardinal Newman says this. He says, one of the problems with the world is that the godly man does not so much seek to please the Lord as to please himself without displeasing the Lord. In other words, how far can I go without until I get in trouble? And that's not the vision that Christ has painted for us at all. It is, let's aim for the bullseye. You might miss the bullseye, you still hit the target. If you just aim for the outside of the target, you could miss completely. And this is not something you want to miss. We're playing for all the marbles here.
Yeah, a lot of men feel very challenged and find it difficult to gain victory or to gain ground in this whole area. And one of the reasons, one of the fundamental reasons, is because we can't do it on our own willpower. We just can't do it on our own strength. We can't bring all our desires, all our sexual desires, in a culture we're living in that's absolutely crazy in this area, and all the temptation without help, without the help of the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us to put first things first.
Absolutely. And to recognize that we really can't do this, and that several of the things we're going to want to arm ourselves and equip ourselves with in the midst of pursuing Christ is humility. To be able to recognize, the devil hates the humility. Humility is a doorway to purity. Truth, the truth about ourselves, the truth about why we're here, the truth about God, and to do so with a sense of joy, and I would actually add serenity or peace as well, to not allow our souls and our spirits to be troubled and agitated, which the world is constantly trying to do, but rather to have peace and come back to Christ and say, what is it, Lord, that you would have me do here?
Yeah, if I'm at peace, then I can see reality. I can apprehend reality as it is. Lust blinds my mind. My desires blind my capacity to see. I fail to see the dignity of the person that I'm lusting after. I fail to see my own dignity and the meaning and the purpose of the sexual powers the Lord has given me. And my passions rule my mind and they rule my will. And bringing that, subduing it all, St. Paul says, now you're under the Spirit. Subdue those drives by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit bring you to a place of peace so you can see reality as it is. You can see the dignity and the sacredness of that person. And as you do, the Lord will touch your heart. As you get closer to the Lord, and this is why freedom comes as we get more intimately connected to the Lord, He fills our heart with joy. Yeah. And when our hearts are filled with joy, we've got a freedom and a capacity to say no to those kind of temptations. St. Thomas Aquinas put it this way. He said that man is made for joy. And when man lacks spiritual joy, the first thing he does is he'll seek carnal desire and passion to fulfill that emptiness within inside him. Our society is sex-crazed right now because it's bored to death. The farther we push God away, the farther intimacy with God gets pushed away from us, the less we're capable of fighting the temptation we're facing.
And as we fill our soul with this junk, it's kind of like you can imagine our hearts are in pure water, and as we fill it with filth, you can no longer see through it. We can't see God. Our hearts were designed so that the eyes would be open and we would see God, but rather we've allowed the filth of the world. So we need to be able to come back to God, allow Him to purify us, and to be able to heal our hearts so that we can see Him. That's His desire for us. Brian?
Great game plan, Curtis and Peter. Coach, we have a lot to cover on this topic of purity in the Red Zone.
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. The Red Zone's next here on Crossing the Goal. First, a quick timeout. We're now in the Red Zone on Crossing the Goal. Our subject is The Godly Man is Pure. This is really a tough issue, as you'll hear from our emails later on. Curtis, guys just really find themselves almost in a state of despair over this.
It is a challenge. And I think, Peter, you did a great job of setting the context. And when we talk about purity, we're really talking about something very big, relational, and having a single-minded love of God. But when guys first approach it, they're at the other end of the field, and at that end of the field, is sexual temptation and sexual sin. Yeah. And we are in a difficult situation there, and we've got to be able to start out. And yet most men are trapped with a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. They don't know what to do, and they don't think anything that they've tried so far is helping them at all. How do we get beyond that?
Yeah. And you know, we got to be careful. We got to be on our toes, because we can lose purity pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And the perfect example of that, it could be just a glance, guys. In 2 Samuel, we read about David. David went out to sort of just relax out on the patio, didn't he? He took a glance over, and Bathsheba was changing, getting into bath. Well, all of us probably might have took a little look down there, but he not only looked, what did he do? The thought then went in, he allowed it to enter into his heart.
Yeah.
And if you follow that whole story in 2 Samuel, you'll find out it turned into, eventually, adultery and murder, just by a glance. That's how scary it is out here. We have to be careful and watch everything that we do.
I mean, if we look to our own strength, it is very scary.
Oh, scary.
I mean, I don't think we should be scared. We should be sobered about it.
You know,
alert. We're supposed to be alert. That's what St. Peter, be alert.
Be alert.
Be clear-headed. Gird up the loins, you know, get
exactly,
your mind clear
exactly.
And engage for battle on a daily basis. And when we're discouraged and we're down, we can't do that. I mean, I'd say in my own life, you know, honestly, there was a time when I was younger where this was an area that I struggled with, you know, but I had times of despair. I'd go to confession and talk to a priest, you know, about this or that and various kinds of temptation. And I thought, am I ever going to get through this? And thank God for the good priests, you know, who are there first to give you the absolution, but also to say, give you wisdom about continuing to press into the Lord. And I'm telling you, I experienced so much freedom in this whole area because of the Lord, because of the grace of the Spirit, because of the support of the brethren, because of getting my mind renewed by the grace of God.
And you got to realize that temptation stops 15 minutes after we're in the grave.
Yeah.
I mean,
we were talking earlier about there was an old man who was dying in the hospital, and a young nurse came to help him, and he said, no, I'd prefer that you didn't. And she goes, it's not a big deal. And he goes, no, you are fire and I am straw. Yeah, so even when in our older age, there are just times we have to avoid. Even in David's situation, the passage begins with showing us that the kings were all supposed to be going to war, and David wasn't there. He was home.
Exactly.
But when we become idle and we're not vigilant, all of a sudden there's an occasion for us to slip into sin. And that's one of the steps we have to take, is not how do I win the battle. When you're dealing with sexual temptation, you need to figure out how to avoid the battle.
Yeah.
Flee temptation.
That's exactly, you know, that's the wisdom of Scripture. Flee temptation when it comes. Take off. Get out of there.
A simple thing that I do, you know, we all going to get impure thoughts. As soon as an impure thought comes into my mind, I go immediately to the Blessed Mother. Please take this away.
Yeah.
And it goes away. Now, it could come back quickly. And it'll come at the craziest times. I mean, I'll be in Adoration Chapel, and impure thoughts come. I'm trying to be pure, right?
Yeah.
I'm in there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm in church, ready to walk up to communion. Impure thought come. I don't want that into my life, but it does.
Yeah.
It doesn't whip me down. I know where to turn to seek help.
Television doesn't help. You can be watching a football game and the commercial comes on, and you know, you see this temptation. I've had to just go to a place where I just turn my eyes away, or turn the channel immediately. I can't just allow that to come into my head.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about some more practical stuff. Like, how do you, I mean, there's guys out there who are listening, and I know there's guys out there who are really struggling with this whole thing. They feel like, man, I've tried this and that, and it's not working. Let's just throw out some practical wisdom that we've known from our own lives that might help guys.
Let me start out, and you guys blend in, and I think you and I can relate to this. The first thing you have to do in this whole situation out here, guys, is admit that you have a problem.
Yeah.
Once you admit it, then you can start heading down the trail.
And then make a decision. You admit it, but also make a decision from the core of your being. I don't want fellowship with this anymore. I really want victory. That's what I want. And make a decision. That's another key step.
And sharing with another person. You can make that decision in your own head, in your own heart, but until you tell someone or others about it who are going to hold you accountable, you're still subject to temptation.
You got to break that cycle of shame and self-condemnation that comes with this. You know, the devil wants us to stay in the dark, and then he beats us up in the dark. You're the worst. You're no good. You're scum. You got to come out into the light and come to someone you trust, a priest and a brother in the Lord, and get it out there and tell the truth and let the light shine on.
Sin is a lot like a cockroach. It doesn't like the light. And I think we have to recognize a pattern that's almost exactly opposite of the way that the devil works with temptation, the way that God works in temptation. The devil says, go ahead and do it. It's no big deal. God will forgive you. And then when you do fall, he says, you blew it. God won't forgive you.
Yeah.
Whereas God, when he sees you in temptation, says, fight on. You can press on. You can do it. And then if we do fall, he says, I forgive you. You can have my mercy. And we have to recognize this. This is why turning to the light, and I think as Catholics, we've got two great ways. First of all, accountability with friends And second of all, to be able to go to confession and receive the sacramental grace that we can have.
And another way, just a common sense way, is the things that you know that are leading you into impurity or temptation in these areas, change your pattern.
Get them out of your life.
Get them out of your life. The computer, get it out. Put it in an area where you know you're not going to be tempted. TV shows or movies or something. Stay away from the double R, those R-rated movies and a lot of things that you know that's throwing you over the edge.
Yeah.
It's going to do it. That's what he uses. He's subtle. He'll put these things and they're all around us out here.
And I think talking to somebody else about it, not just saying, you know, I've gotten into trouble doing this and that, but sit down with a brother you can trust and someone to say, this is how it works in my life. This is how I get tempted. Here's the patterns. Here's where I go. Here's the things I fall into. And so that you're accountable to that person as you try to get these things out of your life in various ways.
And there's even tools now available. For example, I mean, some guys can't get away from the computer. They have to use it for work.
Yes.
But you can put software on the computer, which will email a friend of yours or give a report to the friend of yours who's holding you accountable and to be able to see this. We see on the college campus one of the things the guys have done, they've gathered together in small groups, seven, eight guys, and they get together once a week for the rosary, and their commitment is they're going to pray for one another every day, get together once a week, and then if any of them fall, they contact, either text or contact each other immediately, and all the guys fast the next meal for their fallen brother, who then commits to get to confession. And what we're watching is these guys, these band of brothers, are pulling one another out by God's grace to a better place.
Because there really needs to be a psychic change in us.
Yeah, for sure.
We can remove all the temptations, but if we don't change our hearts and really seek this pure life, the temptations
and call the thing what it is.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the confession.
Call
this
sin
is
sin.
What it is. Yeah. It's a sin, you know.
Yeah.
Call it what it is. And then, you know, guys, we keep bringing these things up. Maybe guys might out there think, oh, this is
repetitive
stuff.
Broken record.
It's right. With the basic it is a broken record. You have to have prayer in your life. You need to go to the sacrament. You need fellowship with other Christian
and you
brothers.
You need daily reading of the Scripture.
I mean, that's going to.
You need a renewed mind. We need a transformed way of thinking.
What do we rely on? You guys in the game, all the things. We're based on the Scriptures.
And to be able to have our minds cleansed and our minds renewed. And you learn things like there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To stand strong. And the Lord does not condemn you. Your brothers don't condemn you. The devil wants to condemn you. When you know that's coming, that's when it's time to turn your heart right back to the Scripture and stand on the truth. But one of the things that we know that's been big for all of us is growing in a deeper relationship with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I mean, St. Paul says, by the power of the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. You know, surrendering more to the Holy Spirit in our life. I wonder if we could just take a minute, you guys, to pray and just ask the Holy Spirit to pray for our friends. Or let's pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, you've won the victory. You've won the victory over our lives. Lord, we confess our weakness and our brokenness, but we trust in your Spirit. And we ask the Holy Spirit to come to all the brothers who are watching tonight.
Oh, Lord, we stand before you and we are grateful for the battle because it indicates, oh, Lord, that the devil is restless. He knows that he has something to fear from men coming alive in you. He's pushing out all of his energies to try to hold us captive, and yet, Lord, you hold the key to our release. And so I pray for all of the men who are watching, for each of us, Lord, that your Spirit would rain down upon us and give us a grace of freedom, and that we would use that freedom to pursue you and to be godly men who hunger and thirst for your righteousness.
Lord, I pray that these men don't be overwhelmed with this problem they have, whatever it is in their life, that they have hope, and the hope is in you. The hope is in the church. The hope is in other fellow men that they can trust and rely on. Lord, just give them the strength to never give up and always turn to you.
And Lord, bring that light into the dark corners of our lives and let us be a light to the world so that we can live as pure men.
Amen.
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 Excellent, man. We do have the last word coming up in the end zone. Also, some emails as Crossing the Goal continues. Please stay with us. Here in the end zone, we're digging into our email bag from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A question from Loyal, who says, as we watch our economy going south and the greed and avarice of politicians and big business, how do you suggest we find encouragement to pray for those in authority?
Well, we find encouragement from the church who calls us to pray for them. But the real thing that needs to happen in our country is to respond to the exhortation of the recent popes, and that is for a new evangelization. Things will change when hearts change. And when hearts change, that means they're converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Holy Father said, nothing is more important and pressing right now than a new evangelization.
And that leads us to the point where the hope really comes from, and that is in the next generation. Yes, we should pray for the leaders that were here now, and we should not lose hope for that. At the same time, what we need to recognize is that God can reach a multitude of young people today, and we raise up a next generation of great, faithful Americans who will take their place in leadership. Abraham Lincoln said that the philosophy of the classroom today will be the philosophy of government in the next generation. We should take them seriously.
Support Focus, right?
There you go.
Thank you for that.
We can't pick and choose who we pray for. We just got to pray and know that God will work in their lives.
Quick comment from Father Peter in Australia, who said he watched the show for the first time, then watched four more episodes straight in a row. But he wants to know what the red zone is.
The red zone, that's the critical area. You can't make any mistakes down there. We try to get down there. It's man-to-man coverage in the red zone. We got to be tough down there. We got to be alert in the red zone.
I think his question might be American football, though. Yeah. It's inside the 20-yard line, next to the end zone.
Father,
little Americanism there.
Yeah. He says he is praying masses for the success of crossing the goal. So thank you, Father.
Thank you.
And the last word on purity now, beginning with Peter.
I just want to say, if there's a brother out there watching today and you've been trapped in this pornography and lust and you feel like you can't get out and you've never shared it with anybody, I want to challenge you this week. Find someone you can trust and put all your cards on the table.
Great word, Peter. It's so necessary. The scriptures speak to us about this as well. In Psalm 119, we're told, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." Commit 5 minutes a day to reading the scriptures. Begin in the Psalms or in the Gospel of St. John.
It's not if we get tempted, it's how many times we're going to get tempted during the day. What we need to do is, it's coming. Just turn to Our Lady, ask her for help, and try praying the rosary daily and see what happens.
Great advice. Thanks, Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck. I'm Brian Patrick. The godly man is brave. Next time on Crossing the Goal. Be sure to join us.
Put in the light. Get 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 the light.